Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. It was 50 years ago this week that the Midland Symphony Orchestra stepped onto the stage of a brand new Midland Center for the Arts. That inaugural concert was a celebration of the power of the arts to connect a community. Now, 50 years later, in the midst of a global pandemic that has kept all of us apart, the Midland Symphony Orchestra is returning to that same stage to celebrate half a century of arts programming in Midland. It'll be the first public performance at the center since the start of the COVID pandemic. With us today to talk about what this moment means is Terry Trotter, President and CEO of the Midland Center for the Arts. Terry, hi.
Hi, how are you, April? It's great to see you.
I'm doing all right. We also have with us Michigan native Ryan Vandenboom. He's a Broadway veteran and choreographer who is a feature performer in this weekend's shows. Welcome, Ryan.
Hello, happy to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about what things have been like for the center over the course of the pandemic?
You know, like with so many live performance venues, it has been challenging, interesting, heartbreaking sometimes. You know, our whole mission is about bringing people together. That's what we do, bringing artists and audiences together, bringing our community together, the opportunity to enjoy things on the stage, to talk about new ideas. And so we really had to make a pivot when we were no longer able to do that. You know, we've tried to be as innovative as we can in terms of thinking, how can we create this environment of connection and togetherness when we can't actually all be in the same room? So it's led us to a variety of virtual events. Tonight's symphony concert will be streaming live as well. We have a whole lineup of outdoor theatrical and musical performances that are going to take place over the summer. So, you know, while it's been very challenging because pretty much all of our revenue has been cut off for us in not being able to sell tickets to large events, it really has also allowed us to be really creative and think about new ways to engage people.
Why was it important for the center to have a live audience now?
You know, with the 50th, again, it's so hard to think about celebrating that milestone for an organization whose mission is bringing people together and not bring people together. So, you know, we have been hoping and hoping that we would be able to have folks gathered at least in some capacity for this because it just doesn't feel right without it.
Ryan, I know that your portfolio includes a lot of different kinds of stage and film work. But this will be a chance to do something that a lot of artists don't get a chance to do. Will you tell us what's planned for the performance and what the audience can expect?
You know, with this this suite, the Carnival of the Animals, typically is done oftentimes as a children's program. And so I really wanted to sort of cater to the family audiences and create sort of a narrative around this suite of music so that I could weave a story and a character. And so I created this janitor from the zoo who will guide the audience through sort of his lens of all the zoo animals. And I will use my sort of physical comedy and some pantomime and also a vast array of different props to create this narrative and also weave the story together.
Yeah, that, I mean, this is a really interesting creative challenge to prepare for under any circumstances. But how does it feel to be getting in front of a live audience again? Is this the first time that you've been in front of people in a while?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, it's been quite a challenge as an artist who, you know, not only just makes their living, you know, getting in front of an audiences, but really it's a passion for me. It's something that I've been doing for a long time. And so getting this opportunity at this time with my hometown community feels very, very special. And the added bonus of this being, you know, the 50th anniversary of the center is it's really wonderful. And I certainly don't take it for granted.
I'm going to ask Ryan to answer this first. But Terry, I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this, too. Some of us who've been vaccinated are getting a taste of what it means to return to public spaces. And it's so amazing. It's so incredible, but it's also profoundly weird after a year plus of trying to physically distance and, you know, trying to figure out the conflicting physical impulses. You know, is it okay to go here? Is it okay to sit here? Is anything coming up for you, Ryan, and what it's going to be like being in a performance space?
Yes, certainly. You know, this has been something that I've been thinking a lot about, even dating back to the very beginning of the shutdown, just sort of this relationship we have with each other in physical space. I think that by definition, you know, working in the theater or any kind of theatrical event, you're sort of engaging with that in real time. And so since we've had this separation from it for a whole year, it is sort of awkward, as you said. However, I think that, you know, the theater has an opportunity to be really a leader in how we sort of engage with this challenge going forward. And so I'm hoping that we're able to just keep the channels of communication open and be really cognizant of other people's physical space and just really opening those conversations and being open to different ideas and different ways of being in space, I suppose.
Speaking as someone who's spent the year watching dance clips online, just marveling that we were ever together like that, what kind of place do you think dance and movement have in showing us how to be with each other right now?
Well, it's imperative. I think that, you know, from an individual standpoint, you know, you're first of all exploring sort of the limitations of your own body and your own relationship to your body. But I think as we start to re-enter these spaces, I think we have a new awareness of how we interact with each other. And so dance has always kind of been in that arena. And so now I think you can apply it to even folks who don't consider themselves dancers, perhaps, but are thinking about their presence in that context. And so I think, you know, the arts, like I said, has always been, I think, a catalyst for that kind of conversation and those kinds of thoughts. And I think that's even more important now than maybe ever.
Terry, I have a question for you about the symphony. Who are the musicians who make up the ensemble?
Sure. Our musicians actually come from all over. The majority of them are based in Michigan. We have many of them that are based here in the Great Lakes Bay region. But we actually have artists from all over the Midwest and even a few from beyond. Of course, Maestro Boislav Rate is our conductor, and he conducts two symphonies. He conducts our symphony here, and he also conducts a symphony down in El Paso. And we have a lot of very dedicated musicians that love playing under Boislav. And so we love the fact that they are with us time and time again.
When musicians come together for a regional symphony or orchestra, it's often possible to create a relationship with the community when these musicians turn up and people see them around the week of a performance. I wanted to ask how much of that is possible now as you know, the musicians are, you know, coming in under some different circumstances and maybe audience members or, you know, this may be the first time that they've seen these musicians in quite a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you hit on what has been one of our biggest struggles at the center, both, you know, our artists as well as our staff, and I imagine people all over, is that those kinds of casual connections, that thing where I bump into you, or I have a cup of coffee with you, or we have lunch, quite frankly, they just have not happened over the last year, moving past a year now. And so, you know, typically when before a concert, you know, Boislav is out and about within the community and the musicians are playing different events throughout the year. And, you know, that just has not been able to happen. And I've talked to both patrons and musicians who have said, you know, that's what they're feeling that they're missing so profoundly. Is like, you know, we've done streaming concerts and there's some interaction on the chat, but, you know, it's all formal communication. Even, you know, if you get on a Zoom chat or a Zoom meeting, that feels so very formal as opposed to the personal connections that we have when we run into each other.
You know, not every community of 80,000 plus people, as Midland County has, not every community of that size has been able to maintain a symphony. What has it meant to Midland to have live orchestral music, I guess, up until the pandemic kind of forced us into other methods?
Well, absolutely. We have been so fortunate in Midland to be able to continue with the symphony, to keep a lot of our programming up and running. You know, I can't say that it's been easy, but it's the support of this community that's really allowed that. You know, our donors, our ticket buyers have really stepped up and said, we've got to help make this happen through the next year. And that has been, you know, that's been the pivotal point, is that support that has continued from those folks, even though, you know, even though they can't come to the symphony in person, they've continued to subscribe. They will watch online or they won't watch online, whatever. You know, they know how important it is to keep doing that. And I think that says so much about the value that people place on that relationship. And it's been very heartening to see.
Terry Trotter is president and CEO of the Midland Center for the Arts. And we've also been talking with artist and choreographer Ryan Vandenboom. Ryan, Terry, it's been great to hear your voices, and we can't wait to hear how the shows go this weekend.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
Likewise. Thank you.